brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
And they're ballers already, you know, at fifth grade.
More and more colleges that are starting flag football programs.
And I'm like, yes, we're in. You want us to play Milton and BT on the same night? Sure. Let's go.
Welcome to a new round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, Flag Edition. John here, Hannah there, and this one was fun on a bunch of different fronts because it was eye-opening, it was reaffirming with how things have grown with Flag here in the state of Georgia, and to catch up with the number four team in the country, it's always a great chance when we get to do that. So it was a trip to Bogart to catch up with North Oconee.
Yeah, the number one team in Georgia, and this is our championship edition podcast, and we wanted to go Flag this time because of how much Flag is growing and the powerhouse that North Oconee is becoming. They will play anyone, anywhere, any day. Mm-hmm. And I love the passion that Coach O'Meara has. Here's her interview. Welcome in, Coach O'Meara. This is our championship podcast, and you are coming off a Flag football title there with North Oconee, the school's fourth year with a Flag football program. Third time to the Benz, finally got that championship. How does it feel? And now that the dust is settled, what's the feeling there in the town?
Apologize, there's a school bell. Very excited. Like, it's something that we've worked for. You know, the first year we got to the Benz, it was like, oh crap, how did we actually get here? And then the second year, like our third year, we were like, all right, so we've been there, we're going to do it again. And you know, we got there and it wasn't the outcome we wanted. And so this year it was like, you know, we kind of set up the schedule to do it. And, you know, it was like third time's a charm. And so, you know, the stars aligned for us along the way. You know, we met back up with Southeast Bullock in the quarterfinals. Like, so it was a big season for us. And the town is excited for us. Kids are constantly coming up to the girls, whether they're playing other sports or they see them at events, you know, just reaching out and trying to get into the middle schools because we don't have a middle school program. And so trying to get that interest for the girls early on so that when they get to the high school, we can already have them incorporated into the program.
All right. So how do we make this happen? How do we sit there and trumpet the fact that the middle school program, so you can have your pipeline, because in tackle football, I mean, you look over with what Coach Arndt has.
I mean, they start at like five.
Yeah, so, I mean, shoot, yeah, go ahead.
I know.
And so it's like, you know, what Coach Arndt has at the program there, you've got the feeder system from the elementary school, middle school, it's the same language and all this kind of stuff. How do we make this happen on the middle school level so you can start your feeder program? What do we need to do here?
You know, it's something that we try to, so it's getting bigger in our rec system. It's really big, it's starting really big in our rec system. So I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. When they were little, they played flag and it like stopped when you were like 10. Cause I guess they expected you at that point to go, girls didn't play past it. And they expected you to go into tackle football at that point. But I would say in the last 4 years, it's gotten really big. And they're really pushing for it. We actually had high school boys, incorporated into our flag football league at the rec this year. And some of the boys coming to me.
Love that. And the girls are probably beating them.
Well, yes. And so then the boys are coming to me and they're like, okay, so I need to know how to run a defense because it's different than tackle.
Okay.
You know, you talked about Coach Arndt, his daughter and a couple of their coaches' daughters were participating in a Rise Youth Flag Football League and they only had one girls team. And so they had to play against boys teams. And so, you know, we talked about how their rules are different than ours and how to incorporate it. And I went out and watched those girls and they're ballers already, you know, at fifth grade. And so that's exciting to see that come about. You know, at our middle school, a couple of our middle schools, we have three middle schools in the county. And I know two middle schools are pushing for flag, but our county hasn't allowed that to happen at the middle school level. And so that's kind of one of those things that, you know, you've got so many spots for kids to play athletics and stuff. And I know for us, Some schools allow middle schoolers to play, like on their JV team. Our county will only allow us to have eighth graders play if we don't make cuts during our regular tryouts. So unfortunately for us, I guess, or fortunately, if you look at it, I had 55 girls come and try out last year.
That's a lot.
For both my varsity and my JV, which is huge. And I can't keep 55 girls. It's not fair to keep 55 girls because they're not going to get the one-on-one attention and they're not going to get the reps. Because I don't know if you heard, we only practice once or twice a week. So, you know, you definitely don't get reps with that many girls if you're only practicing a couple times a week. And so I unfortunately can't keep eighth graders because of that, because I do have to make cuts. So, I mean, it's a catch 22, right? It's a good situation for me to be in, but it also kind of stinks. But we're really pushing the rec side of it to get more, especially females incorporated into the sport, whether they do it through the rec department or they do it through the Rise Flag Football League that we also have in the county.
You were the assistant coach, then got promoted to head coach. Your second year into the program, I can see why you're so passionate about this sport. How did you make the team and the program as a whole your own, which ultimately led to the title?
You know, so when Jay was in charge the first year, he actually wanted me to come on and be his assistant coach the first year. But I was coaching swim and dive. The seasons overlapped a lot and we were like, oh, we don't know if that can work. So the second year, he asked me again. And so we talked to the AD and he was like, yes, we'll make it work. It's not a problem. But Jay and I were friends ahead of time and we knew how each other worked in that situation. And so it wasn't hard for me to take over. And I also have developed different relationships with the girls. Some of these girls, because like my senior class, they're as old as my son. So I've known these girls practically their whole lives. And so that helped because I already knew them in a situation. And so I knew how they reacted when they were up against, you know, adversity. I knew how to get into their heads to get them to do what I needed them to do. And so that was really good coming in with those girls that I already knew. And so we already had that established relationship. And so then I could build upon my relationship with the newer girls and kind of create our culture for our program and for our school.
What's it been like to see the sport grow here in the state of Georgia? I think we were doing the math. It's like 75% of the schools in the GHSA have flag football attached. I know there's
still
some.
Which is incredible. I mean, that's all been over the past like 4 years.
Yeah. And you started with 90. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 91. And now you're north of 300. You still have, that means you still, though, have 25% of the schools that don't have flag. Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you to see it grow to where it is right now, to where you're having all of these massive games and it's, you know, Southeast Bullock or Milton and you know, North Gwinnett and Greenbrier and all these different pockets that are having all this kind of success?
It's really amazing to see, you know, because when they first brought it on, I don't think they thought it was going to be the sport that it is. And I was talking with my husband, you know, we're outside of Athens. And so we've talked about like, why isn't the university doing this? Yes, they have a club team, but like, you don't need any money to start this program, right? You have to buy footballs, you have to buy flags. That's it. Field space. Like, you don't need anything else. And like, I don't understand why schools wouldn't do it, but I think they're starting to see the success. And it's a different type of athlete that comes out for flag football. You've got, you know, some girls that are just strictly going to be basketball girls and some girls that are just strictly going to be soccer girls, but this gives girls another opportunity, whether they be the basketball girls, the soccer girls, or girls that are just like, you know what, I've never really tried anything in high school. Let me go out and see what I can do. And so I think it's a really unique game. It's a fast-paced game. I also think that's part of the growth, right? You know, you've got two 20-minute halves, super fast. You can get two games in a night. The season is kind of shortened, and so that it does also allow for the girls to participate in other sports and not be locked in, because my sons play baseball. We both know how long baseball season lasts, right?
This year lasts forever. I love the Braves, but by, I don't know, the October, I am over it
No offense to the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Florida Marlins, but a game in the middle of July with the Braves and the Marlins or the Braves and the Pirates, you're sitting there going, can we kind of fast forward to like September here a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, so like I think the season's short. I think that that's helped the growth. And I think it's just another opportunity for girls to participate in sports. You know, it's just one more thing that they can do. I think the NFL's promotion of it has been huge.
Yep, shout out to the Falcons.
But shout out to the Falcons. I mean, like, they're providing money for teams in the state of Georgia, which has helped teams tremendously. Like, for us, it helped us last year buy New Jersey. It helped us provide headgear for the girls. You know, this year it's going to provide new flags, more headgear. Like, so it's a great thing that the NFL teams are doing to promote it. I think it was 2 years ago on the at the Super Bowl that they had the first commercial for it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we were watching and we didn't know that it was going to happen. It was like, all of a sudden you see this. And I think that's really when it blew up, is it really started catching, you know, just everybody around. And it's amazing to see the growth. I can only imagine what we're going to be in the next 5 years.
Yeah, that Arthur M. Blank Foundation mm-hmm. is heading a lot of that. And I think in 5 years, we're going to start seeing a lot of college flag football.
Well, and that's the other aspect in this, is that you now have more and more colleges mm-hmm. that are starting flag football programs. And it now gives that extra impetus to players getting noticed and performing in flag, to where you're getting scholarships and you're playing in the NAIA. We just had a Division I program, I think, that's an HBCU pop-up.
Oh, now. I'm ready to see an SEC flag, women's flag football showdown.
Oh, could you imagine?
It'd be amazing. What would your advice be to those 25% of schools who don't have a flag football program? What would you say to them?
Just take the leap. It's easy. And there's plenty of coaches around the state that will help you. You know, will help you on the offensive side, will help you on the defensive side. I actually had a coach from Michigan reach out to me last week on email. And he was like, hey, there's only 40 schools in our state. We're brand new. Can I call you and pick your brain? Yes, absolutely. Here's my number. Call me anytime. But I think you just need to take the leap. Mm-hmm. You just need to take the leap. And you also need to not just be a dumping ground. That's important. Like, you need to put the right people in place. And we see this sometimes in high school sports, especially like if you don't have somebody who is a football person or a basketball person or a baseball person, you need a coach. And so you're like looking through the school and you're like, who can help? Who can help? Who's not doing anything? All right, cool. You're now the head coach of whatever. But I think you need to also surround yourself with people who can make you better. I'm the only coach out of my six coaches. I'm the only one here at the school. So I reached out into my community to find people to help me build the team like I wanted to see it. And I think that's also important. Like, you can't just rely on people within the school. You have to rely on community members to help you out, because everybody's going to bring something different to the table. And that's what will make your program as a whole more complete.
Anytime we talk about this, I get chills. It's just extra opportunity for girls. Another sport. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want that? I don't know.
It's crazy that people don't want to add it to me.
Well, and obviously you mentioned the cooperation that happens there on your campus, where there are, you know, some of your student athletes in flag that are attached to other sports. And it takes, the idea of being somewhat nimble and having to think on your feet with those multi-sport athletes that are a part of your team, and you're continuing to try to be successful and get to the end goal. What's it like to have that kind of cooperation there on campus? It's like, yes, I know I'm not going to have her because of volleyball or football or, you know, or basketball or insert sport here. What's it like to have that kind of cooperation?
Well, so when we started 4 years ago, our athletic director was really like, he went to the teams that would be impacted, and he went to those coaches and he was like, hey, we're going to have this program. It's going to run in the middle of fall through the middle of winter. You're going to have to share. I think that was the biggest thing that got it, is our athletic director bought into the fact that we are going to have to share athletes. And as coaches, we work really well. So we were scheduling tryouts. So I reached out to volleyball. I reached out to softball. I'm like, hey, when are your tryouts in May? So I can schedule mine around it so that kids can get to both things. So it does take a little bit of work with the calendar. For us, we've learned over the last 4 years that if we want to get the basketball girls for the winter, and some of my like softball, volleyball players, we practice in the morning, and that leaves their entire afternoons open, because I do have some girls that play like club soccer and, you know, club tennis and stuff like that. And they have to have those afternoons free. And so, you know, sometimes that's just how it is. We practice in the morning and, you know, you show up, you show up. And then like with games and stuff, the first season has the priority. So like since volleyball and softball are what happened before us, they have game priority. So if we happen to have games on the same day, those girls have to go to those games. Mm-hmm. If they just happen to be done and they can still make it to our last game, then they can come to our game. Same way with us in basketball. So we have girl priority over basketball, but also you have to have the buy-in. Basketball is a big buy-in. And the coaches, I've seen this over the years where some basketball coaches don't want to work or allow their flag girls to play. And some of your best athletes come from basketball. I mean, everybody has seen, we call her, everybody apparently in the state calls her Orange Cleats, Callie Mashburn. I went to a coach's thing and they're like, hey, so is Orange Cleats, did she graduate? I'm like, no,
Orange,
she's still there.
Orange Cleats, I love that. Her name is actually on my list of questions.
I was like, Callie, you got to change the color. I need to hide you somewhere. She goes, coach, I don't think I can hide anywhere. I'm pretty big. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. But you have to have that connection. And so Coach Willis and I work really well. Like sometimes like the summer, like we're going to do stuff over the summer and I want to participate in a team camp. And I was like, hey, are you guys doing anything this week? And he was like, no, we in the week before. Perfect. Like, so you have to have that availability between coaches. And if you have coaches that are fighting and aren't willing to share, you're not going to have success that other teams will.
That makes a lot of sense.
When it comes to scheduling, now, are you going to a petition to try to have a California roadie where you can take on the top-ranked team in the country and Jay Sarah, take on Olu and make it the CIF and those kinds of – I say that somewhat in jest, but you've got – Central Phoenix City, which is just down the road, they're a top five team. Alabama has taken flag football by storm. And I think that there are six or seven teams in the top 25 that are from the state of Georgia. You guys don't flinch. It's like, yeah, we'll go ahead and line them up. We'll play. I don't care what classification you are. I mean, you guys just kind of go, yeah, we'll go ahead and throw it out there and see what happens. No fear among all of you.
Honestly, when I made the schedule last year, that's what I did. I was like, where can we go? This year's scheduling has been a lot more harder. And I don't know if it's the addition to with PSR that adds to it. I know for us, like as far as where we are regionally, in our region, there's not many schools outside this area. And like northeast of us, there's practically no schools that do flag. So now we're also hitting part of like, do people want to travel as far? Like they look and they're like, oh, Athens is so far. And I'm like, really? It's not. Like, it's fine. It's not that bad. So I'm this year I'm struggling with scheduling, but last year I was like, I would see stuff and I'm like, yes, we're in. Like it would show up on the coaches group chat. And I'm like, yes, we're in. You want us to play Milton and BT on the same night? Sure. Let's go. They're like, oh, it's going to be the 8 o'clock game. I'm like, cool. I don't care. We'll play.
I love that.
There's PSR in flag?
I know. I'm over here Googling.
Starting this year, we're going to have PSR. We were told we weren't, and then we were told we were. So.
Wow. PSR in flag. See, this is what happens.
Professional sports representation. What are we talking about? What is PSR?
Power rankings.
The power rankings?
Yeah.
I thought we were talking more like representation. Mm-mm. Like
no, power rankings.
Okay. Yeah.
So you get power rankings in flag now.
Wow. That's also just as crazy.
But that's the thing. It's like, this is how this sport has grown in a handful of years to where you're now having to use PSR.
That's crazy. Rather than just a traditional ranking system.
That is nuts.
Yeah. So it will be the top 32 in each division.
Okay.
That goes versus like the top four from each area.
Okay.
So you see it in 1-3 and like basketball and baseball and like football. You already see that. Mm-hmm. So now it's spreading to 1-6 or 1-7, I guess. And then they're adding sports to it. So flag is getting added to it.
Amazing.
Which is great.
Power rankings in flag.
Why not, John?
But like I said, it speaks to where this has come. And to have, North Oconee, as the number four team in the country, do you look at those rankings, Coach? Do you sit there and you wrap up the season top ranked in Georgia, number four in the country? Do you sit there and hang your hat on something like that?
You know, we were proud of where we ended up. Proud of where we ended up in the state. Super like unexpected for nationally. But also it shows what these girls can do. I had one of my coaches who each week looked it up. And then we would have like our coaches polls that would come out and he would be like, what are these people thinking? Do they not look at rankings?
I did some math. You outscored your opponents 3-1 in all 22 wins. And that is super impressive. And that's why you're number four in the country, too.
I mean, that's to have the offense that you had. Of course, it also speaks to the defense that you had, too.
620 points in your 22 wins.
How many pages of stats did you have by the end of the year with all of the yards and the scoring and everything?
Do you have like I kept it on a Google sheet. I'm a dork, so I went ahead and did that. And so each game had its own tab. At the very beginning, it kept overall ranking or overall stats for the girls. I did have a couple girls that had coaches reach out to them, so I was able to easily pull their information.
There you go.
You know, and each year I build on my stat sheet on like what I'm looking at. And so like one of them for defense, like one thing I didn't look at this year was pass breakups. And I'm like, you know what? I think I need to add that defensively. I think that's a great stat to have, especially for some of my just defense only girls. Because if you look at stats and you look at things like flag pulls and interceptions, well, that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. Because a lot of things happen in pass breakups and there's, you know, I could rank these girls, they would get more recognition if I included that. So, you know, that's another stat that I'm looking at. I'll probably add a couple more things before the end of summer so I can look at it, but a lot of information.
No, this is fantastic. I'm glad we were able to catch up
because
this was, it was affirming on a bunch of different fronts. And it was eye-opening on a couple of different fronts, too. And I'm glad that we were able to catch up and talk to the head coach of the number four team in the country and the number one team in the state of Georgia there at North Oconee. Yeah, we can't thank you enough for coming in. And do you need
no
a
problem.
Are you going to get in trouble because that bell went off? And
No, I've got somebody watching my class. It's fine.
Okay, good.
Like I said, if we need to send a note to the AD, then I can do that to Dr.
Boss,
Holly.
Our boss, Kevin Gerke, can
Dr. Holly, just go ahead and text him. She's out of class.
Yeah, I'll text Dr. Holly and sit there and go, okay, so sorry, coach was late. We ran long because we had a lot to talk about. Can't thank you enough for this. And now you've got my brain spinning about how we can get you and Central Phoenix City and Moody and Greenbrier and
can be the GPB flag championships of them all.
Yeah, the intergalactic flag football championships. We're bringing everybody from the southeast to one location and just rock and roll with it. That's fantastic.
Hey, we're all for it. Let's go.
All right. Thanks again. We'll catch up with you soon, Coach.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. Bye.
So I think it's settled. I think what we need to do now is make all of our phone calls. Let's see, if we turn it into like an 8-team intergalactic championship here in the Southeast anyway.
We'll just fund it all too.
So Central Phoenix City, number 2 team in the country. North Oconee at number 4. It was Greenbrier, who's number 8. Pope was at number 10. Wakefield out of North Carolina was number 11. BT and Lambert get you to 7. Then Moody out of Alabama, number 18, gets you to 8. Milton, 22 in the country, Southeast Bullock. So you're like 9 and 10 teams. So we just need to make it like a 16-team tournament and just bring in Jay Sarah and Orange Lutheran. And
what are we going to call it?
The GPB Flag Football Intergalactic Championship.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know that was the real title.
It
okay.
is the real title. Okay. As of now, it is the GPB Sports Flag Football Intergalactic Championships.
Got it.
And so we're gonna start doing all of the legwork on
where
that.
Where are we playing? The Benz?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
North Oconee.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they would love to host it. You know, something centralized near an airport, maybe.
Yeah.
So we could do it there.
Yeah.
But no, this was really cool that we
I'm
were
down.
Able to.
I'm down for that. That yes. would be amazing.
And to think of all the talent that's on display. And like I said, it was a great interview because we learned a lot about cooperation when it comes to athletic department and different sports and needing athletes and all these kinds of things. So
and really the coach interactions. Why would you be fighting if you were a coach? Why would you not allow... I guess I get it. You want your players.
You want your players focused. At 100% during your
but
season.
But also, what's best for the player? Playing multiple sports, being a part of other things.
Well, not all coaches are wired that way.
You're right.
But so it's just conversations and understanding the landscape for what it is. So that is flag football, and that is the second one for this month. So,
and the second championship edition.
Yes. And so we had two champions and one that was dealing with championships and coaching carousel at the same time. So it was great to catch up with Coach Finley a couple weeks ago and catch up with Coach O'Meara from North Oconee this time around. Next time here in the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, it's Make That Kid an Offer. So this is where we get to kind of pull back the curtain on that a little bit and find out about all the student athletes that got noticed, got more notice, and got some help and got to go to the next level and be really a good part of what's going on here with the state of Georgia with what we do for the Make That Kid an Offer eligibility that we have here at GPP. I'm going to turn this way and see who's behind the glass. So let's see. It is, Marky Mark, King James. It is Carmen Miranda, the new podcast producer, Ambassador Jeremy.
She'll need a title.
I just gave her one.
What'd you say?
Carmen Miranda.
Oh, who's Carmen Miranda?
And for G Money, I think we're done. We'll see you next month for Make That Kid an Offer. Play it safe. We're out.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.